Let us pray together as we come to God's word. Lord God, as we come to this word today from your Bible, your word, we pray that you would break down the barriers in our hearts, that you would expose the barriers in our hearts to your word. Some of us here today, Lord, are suspicious of your word. Release us from that spiritual poverty. Protect us from cutting ourselves off from the life-giving power of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being low and 10 being high, how would you rate the quality of your life today? To come up with your rating, you probably considered a variety of factors. Maybe you thought about your level of happiness. Maybe you looked at the state of things at work or at home or at school. Or maybe you thought about how restricted or free you are to pursue dreams that you think God has placed in you. People have had a fair amount to say about the quality of life throughout history. Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, said the quality of life is determined by its activities. And it seems like we in the Western world have concluded more activities mean more quality of life. Alexis Carrel, a French surgeon and biologist, who was also awarded the Nobel Prize for Physiology, stated, "The quality of life is more important than life itself." Another writer says, "Rural life is viewed by a growing number as having a higher quality of life, not because of what it has, but rather because of what it does not have." And author Alice Kahn writes, "For a list of all the ways technology has failed to improve your quality of life, please press 3. Now, I don't know where you'd rate your quality of life today or what measurement you'd use, but I do know Jesus had a lot to say about life. And he even spoke about the quality of life. And today we're going to see him reveal how to find the highest quality life. So no matter what rating you just gave your quality of life right now, Jesus has something to say about improving its quality. And through this pre-Easter season, we're looking at what Jesus said and what he did through the Gospel of John. And we have seen him make significant use of the phrase, "I am." In the Old Testament book of Exodus, God spoke that name out of the burning bush when Moses asked, "What's your name?" I am is the name, the divine name of God. So in John 6, we saw Jesus provide real bread for 5,000 men and their families. And then he made the claims, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven." So Jesus claimed to be the source of our spiritual life and nourishment using the divine name. And then last week, we saw Jesus claim, "I am the light of the world. And before Abraham was born, I am." So Jesus claimed to be the light who would guide his people, just like God guided them through the desert with the pillar of fire, his Shekinah glory. And we saw last week that when Jesus claimed to exist before Abraham, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but he hid himself and then left the temple grounds. Then he goes to the blind man to heal him with the account that you just heard. And at the end of this episode, Jesus again engages in discussion with the Pharisees or religious leaders. Here he makes another claim using the divine name and raises this issue of the quality of life. And today I hope you will leave with answers to the question, what is the highest quality life and how do we get it? Then we'll conclude with an opportunity to begin, continue, or reconnect with the highest quality of life. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to pick up from where we just heard and read 10 more verses, starting in John 9:38 and reading to John 10:10. Then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What is the highest quality life? It is life with Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit to taste an always increasing portion of God. Jesus talks about life to the full in verse 10. And this high quality life focuses on the things of heaven, loving God and people, creating, working, healing, helping, building up in the strength of the Lord. It is full of all that is true and honorable, just and pure, all that is lovely and commendable, excellent and praiseworthy. Those living this life display love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control by the power of the Spirit. What led up to this statement by Jesus in verse 10? Well, the healed blind man sees and believes in Jesus. The Pharisees question Jesus to see if he thinks they're blind. And he responds, yes, you are blind, but then text takes it even a step further. In verse 1 of John 10, he calls them thieves and robbers. Why? Because they had just brutalized one of their own sheep. They had been entrusted with the responsibility and ministry of shepherding the flock. And here comes one of their sheep, and he has been healed by God. And what do they do to him? They mock him, they question him, they get angry with him, and they throw him out. Just like thieves and robbers would do, into a sheepfold. Using the image of the sheepfold, Jesus paints a picture. These sheepfolds were rectangular-shaped enclosures, served to protect the sheep when they weren't out in pasture, and the shorter stone walls would surround the steep sheep, leaving one opening. So the sheep would go in, and the watchman or shepherd could stay at the door to protect them. But thieves and robbers could climb over the walls. So Jesus refers to them in verse 1, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is like a thief and robber. And the Pharisees had done just that, brutalizing sheep, just like thieves would, as they stole the sheep. Apparently, the fold that Jesus is talking about had several flocks of sheep in it. For the shepherd goes in to call out his sheep from other sheep that are there. And apparently, Eastern shepherds have a unique call that only their sheep recognize. Kind of like a dog If you have a dog, your dog recognizes your call but probably won't respond to a stranger's call. Well, these sheep responded in the same way. And notice what the shepherd does. He calls them, then he walks out leading them, and they follow. That image is somewhat foreign to us in the West, who often see sheep farmers driving or herding their sheep with sheepdogs. In the East, they simply called their sheep, and the sheep followed them. The only people who drove sheep in the East were butchers. And the Pharisees were acting like butchers to their own sheep when they should have been like shepherds to them. But they don't get it. And John tells us that in verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus recognizes this misunderstanding, and he changes the metaphor a bit in the next verses, where we discover the highest quality life. Verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. So picture the sheep in verse 9 that Jesus is talking about. They get to go into a sheepfold where there will be a shepherd who will protect them. And they get to come out and they get to find pasture. In other words, whoever was entrusted to that shepherd had everything that they needed for life. And the same is true when it comes to Jesus. Whoever goes through the gate called Jesus has everything they need for a high quality life, for rich pasture. Jesus goes even further at the end of verse 10 where he says, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly, a fullness of life. But what does that mean? Sadly, some have interpreted this verse to mean Jesus promises a life full of abundant possessions and health. So if you don't have health and wealth, there's something wrong with you. But compared to other parts of the Bible, which talk about the reality of suffering, the abundant material life misses the point. Jesus is not talking about a life abundant in quantity, but in quality. One commentator puts it this way: this life fulfills the whole idea of life, the good of life, the perfection of life, the satisfaction of life in God. So the abundant life is not abundance of material possessions, but abundance in quality. It involves connection with God and fulfillment of God's purposes for us. It involves life as we were created to live it, released from sin's bondage, experiencing close relationship and fellowship with our Lord. It is life connected to the one who knows us best. Joni Erickson puts it this way: no matter how connected we are with our loved ones, we're always left aching for more. For someone to comprehend our world and enter our struggle, to embrace us with a passion that seizes and melts us into a union that will never be broken. God answers this ancient longing. We melt into him when we let go of pride, when we let go of the itchiness to have things our own way, when we let go of desires and dreams and feast on him. But in losing ourselves for his sake, we discover our true identity. We step into the person we've been predestined to be. And then she prays, I step by faith closer to you today, Lord. I leave behind my wants and wishes. Show me who I am in you, and I shall be ecstatic. Sounds like she's found the full quality life, a quadriplegic. So how do we get this life? Well, verses 7 and 9 tell us by constantly coming to and through Christ, the door. Verse 7, I'm the gate for the sheep. Verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and be kept safe and find pasture. Jesus makes another I am statement. He claims to be the one through whom we discover the highest quality life. And throughout Scripture, Jesus makes these appeals for us to come to him. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Sounds like he's appealing to people who have been pursuing a high quality life and haven't found it apart from him. They're exhausted. He goes on, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that beautiful, wonderful, inviting? And friends, we need to come to Jesus to begin this life and keep coming to him to continue this life. But the problem is, when we go out and get distracted by other shepherds inviting us into other sheepfolds, Satan, demons, sin, they like to disguise themselves as good shepherds. They say, come into our fold. You will find good pasture. Come and be satisfied. And we think pursuing more and more stuff will satisfy. Get that new toy. Get that bigger house. Get that new car. Go on that vacation. Win the lottery. And you'll have the high quality life. But many attain all of that, and it's not enough. Or we think that feeding our appetites for food or sex or happiness or recreation or excitement outside of God's boundaries will somehow satisfy us. But we discover there's an ever-diminishing return. I love how C.S. Lewis puts it in his Screwtape letters. Screwtape, the senior demon, writing to his nephew, the junior demon, on how to effectively tempt humans. Screwtape writes, God made all the pleasures, hence we always try to work away from the natural condition of any pleasure to that in which it is least natural, least pleasant to its maker, least pleasurable. An ever-increasing craving for an ever-diminishing pleasure is the formula. So we walk along life's path, and many invite us into their sheepfolds, promising us good pasture, and we get confused or distracted from Jesus, and we go into their fold, and we taste something that seems good and filling for a while, and then we discover the same portion is less satisfying. So we need more, and we need more, and instead of an ever-increasing quality of life, we experience an ever-diminishing return. Having ignored Jesus' call, we desperately seek more from the same shepherd or sheep fold that is less satisfying. And then we hear Jesus' call again, and remember, coming to him brings real pasture. Life with him is the highest quality life. It's the life God created us for. It is life in God's sheepfold, protected by the greatest shepherd. We must constantly return to him, walk with him, commune with him. And then we see more clearly that his pasture blows away what is offered in any other pasture. He serves 16-ounce succulent steaks, not mystery meat in hot dogs. The eternal, abundant, high-quality life starts now for the Christian. We get to taste heaven now. We get to have the Holy Spirit in us. We communicate with the one in heaven through Jesus. God uses our sufferings to continue to build in us that perseverance of faith in him. And he uses the experiences and challenges in our lives to shape and mold us into Christ-likeness for what he's called us to tomorrow. But to find and wade our way to this life today, we've got to come to Jesus all the time keep coming to him. And in him and through him, we find pasture now. Some of you have never come to him. Today, you can begin the highest quality life by coming to Jesus, turning away from those other pastures and saying, only in you do I have life. Some of you have continued to come to Jesus. You know that this is true. You have fed on his pasture. Continue to come to him in whatever you face. And some of us may have been dabbling in other sheepfolds for a while. Time to leave those behind and come back to Jesus. Hear the words of God from Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, it is so tempting for us in this life to find satisfaction apart from you. There's so many things we can fill ourselves with. Food, technology, busyness, endless activities for our family, the pursuit of more. Yet, Lord, there are times, maybe in those quiet moments, when we find this pursuit is empty ultimately apart from you. We need to come into your fold and stay there and then go out and find the pasture you have. So, Lord, will you open our eyes and give us your strength and call us back and save those who come and direct us to the pasture we need to go in your word, in prayer with others, in the faith to spur us on. Help us to reorder our lives so we're not tangled up in so many sheepfolds, but only with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the gate through which we find the highest quality life. We thank you for coming and paying the price so that we could find it. Amen.